At the beginning of next year, your agency may have a new definition of risk. The Office of Management and Budget says it may issue new guidance that requires an enterprise-wide view of risk. Rafael Boris is senior advisor at A.T. Kearney, former undersecretary for management and acting deputy secretary at the Homeland Security Department, and he's writing about building an enterprise-wide risk management strategy. Rafael, thank you very much for being on the program. Congratulations on this piece in Federal Times. You write, many federal organizations have instituted risk-based strategies. However, few have adopted the enterprise-level risk management programs like those I've seen at the corporate level. What's the difference between what federal agencies are doing and best practices that they can learn from the private sector, Rafael? Thanks for coming on today.
Well, thank you for having me, Francis. In a nutshell, first of all, let me say this. You know, risk management is certainly not new to the federal government. Agencies like NASA and other highly technical organizations have employed risk management practices for a long, long time and have contributed greatly to the body of knowledge and learning that also corporate organizations have learned from. The difference in my piece, what I refer to as enterprise-level risk management or corporate risk management practices, and it really is sort of the holistic nature of the view of risk across the entire organization that I think distinguishes what I have seen in my time in the federal government versus what I experienced when I was in the commercial world prior to joining DHS, and certainly now that I've been with A.T. Kearney.
You write there are four essential pillars that make up the foundation of a corporate enterprise risk management program. I want to talk about each of them in turn. A robust governance structure, integrated management coordination, performance measurement, and identification, mitigation, and management of risk. Let's start with the governance structure. What does a governance structure look like in your experience in the private sector, and how'd you build one at DHS?
Well, you know, what I've seen, you know, the governance structure, and I talked about this a little bit in my piece. Again, there's been a proliferation of governance models instituted at the federal level within agencies, around programs, around IT projects, for example. And the distinction is, again, a governance model that coordinates risk activities throughout the entire enterprise. So a governance structure that is basically coordinating risk management at the corporate level and is being able to articulate what the difference is between central risk and individual product, or in the case of the program, in the federal government program, or project risk. That to me is the major distinction. The ability to clearly articulate a organization's authorities and having that aligned. You know, what I found at DHS, for example, was there were a lot of governance models, but nothing tied them back together to the corporate DHS. So you have to ask yourself, who was overseeing these various governance models within the organization? So that's one of the things that we work very hard to build, sort of a superstructure to tie back the individual governance models that you saw in, you know, Customs and Border Protection, at TSA, et cetera, and tie it back to an overall risk framework at the departmental level.
Is there a danger of focusing too much in this model on governance and not on actually governing, not on actually accomplishing the business of the mission of the agency?
Well, I think that's a good point, Francis. And I think what I found was that there was too much emphasis on governance and not enough focus on governing. The big difference, and I don't want to overplay. You know, it's just one of the four pillars that I identified in the piece.
Sure. You also write, an underrated aspect of establishing an enterprise-level risk management governance effort is the development of a common vocabulary. Why is that so underrated, and why is it so important, Rafael?
Well, you know, I've long believed that I've learned this many, many, many years ago, from both government leaders and business leaders about the need and the importance to have a common nomenclature. Again, there are so many aspects of risk. Take, for example, at DHS, they're using risk-based strategies at TSA, at On the Border. You hear about all this all the time, but even FEMA talks about risk management in relation to their response and recovery work. But what does it really mean? Each one of them left to themselves would have sort of a different definition and therefore have different ways to measure and to talk about it. So it's really important to have a common vocabulary. What do we mean when we talk about risk? And what does a risk framework look like? And that's where you begin to sort of look at that matrix of, you know, how do you look at and talk about decision making? What are the rules of behavior for people engaged in these governance models, for example? What are going to be some of the financial or operational considerations? And make sure that people have the common vocabulary. When we started the program office at DHS called PARM, Program Accountability and Risk Management, Francis, we spent a good year working with all of the components to be able to define the different elements of the risk model and to make sure that people understood that when we use certain words, that it was clearly understood throughout the organization. And it was time intensive, but I think it was very, very valuable to be able to sort of lessen the ambiguity about what we mean when we talk about risk.
Raphael Boris of A.T. Kearney writing in the Federal Times about enterprise-level risk management programs across the government. The second pillar that you write about is integrated management coordination. It's a topic that I've discussed a lot in this program, Raphael, but I don't think you can understate or talk too much about the importance of the CXOs all across any enterprise, whether it's private sector or public sector, communicating with each other well and often. Can you?
No, and I mentioned in the piece how proud I was of all the CXOs, all the chiefs at DHS at the corporate level, who bought into this enterprise model, this corporate enterprise model, and work very, very hard to message, again, part of that nomenclature issue, but also to message the importance of the model and what it was going to take to be successful. So you can't segregate risk at the corporate level. You can't say, for example, we put a big focus on getting a clean audit opinion, and I recently heard that the department got it again for a second year in a row.
Yes.
But that was not only the province of the CFO. It required as much cooperation and collaboration from the CIO, the chief procurement officer, the chief security officer, in fact, all of those, the CHICO, et cetera. It was a good example of, and that's what I was looking for very, very big endeavors to be able to showcase how well this collaborative model, this collaborative approach could work. And I think acquiring the clean audit opinion was a good example of how we began to change the organizational culture.
And that also fits with what you're writing about performance measurement, Raphael. That's the third pillar that you write about. And you write, our enterprise approach at DHS for the CXOs was to develop performance measures that addressed cross-CXO measures of performance tied to priority programmatic initiatives rather than vertically based performance measures. It sounds like, maybe intentionally or unintentionally, you set the performance measurements, and therefore the gauges of success, in such a way that folks had to work together in order to be successful, whether they wanted to or not. I mean, I'm not suggesting they didn't want to, but it really was part of the gig.
It was. It was part of, again, creating that mindset and finding the interdependencies between the various CXO functions. So developing performance metrics, and what we did was we put together a task group made up of the deputy CXOs who work very hard, very long hours, to be able to develop these sort of cross-CXO performance metrics to be able to keep us focused on the need to have a collaborative approach, not just to risk, but in many ways to our day-to-day job of getting the business of DHS done.
The fourth pillar in your piece, Raphael, is identification, mitigation, and management of risk. And I guess I would call this the Nike pillar, just do it, right?
That's a good way to do it, because it's important to show how the actions are follow up and coordinated. You know, if all we did was message the need for good governance, talk about inter-CXO coordination and collaboration, and develop metrics, but didn't show folks, you know, what the follow-up was going to be and how we were going to assess and monitor And also prioritize. Let me just spend a moment on that. You know, part of the discipline associated with this, and this is what we find here at A.T. Kearney working with commercial companies, it really is that focus that allows you to prioritize and say, these are the important enterprise risk factors that we're going to follow from a corporate level. You know, you could say everything is important, but if everything is important, then nothing individually is important.
Yeah.
You have to be able to establish priorities. So you have to then, identify those priorities, what's important, develop the mitigation plans against that, and then manage that. So you're assessing your level of risk, you're prioritizing and saying, these are the major corporate risk factors that we're going to monitor. And then you've got to act on it.
We just have a minute or so left, Raphael, but this entire approach seems to crystallize something that you and I talked about recently off the air, and that is the difference between government operating more like a business and government operating more business-like, and that's how you wrap this piece.
I do. You hear this conversation all the time, you know, can government operate more like a business? And, you know, increasingly I'm convinced you can't make it operate completely like a business, but you can identify those practices from the commercial world that can be translated into a public agency. I should also mention, as I've been spending time with many commercial organizations, you know, there are a lot of practices that we should be very proud of in the federal government that actually have been translated over to the commercial side. They have borrowed from the federal government's work, for example, around the security of the supply chain as one example. But there is much to learn. And the trick is, how do you translate that? What are the translators that you can take these very sophisticated models, for example, of enterprise risk management and adopt it? And I think what we showed at DHS is that we began by developing a framework with those four pillars that I identified in the piece and put into practice exactly how to use them and ingrain them, because this is a cultural transformation as much as it is the adoption of a framework.